We're going to, just for a few moments today, wrap up our series on parenting. And this is the fourth and final message in this series. I hope you enjoyed Pastor Matt last week. I enjoyed him speaking to us on parenting to the heart. And what I want to talk to you about today really goes along very well with the heart. I want to talk to you about developing character in our children. Developing character. In the book by Paul Tripp on parenting, in his chapter called Character, he begins by painting a picture. And when I was reading the story or the situation that he was describing, it was a little close to home. It's like he's been in my house before, and he's witnessed a scenario play out. And so I'm going to share that with you. And I suspect that many of you probably as well have seen this or something similar to this happen in your own home if you're a parent. He paints a picture of three children in the living room playing a video game, laughing and having a wonderful time. While mom is rushing around the kitchen and living room trying to get the house clean, trying to prepare for a family of six that will be arriving shortly for dinner. She's in full panic mode. I think we know what that looks like, parents. We've been there. And she's scurrying to get things done. And it's obvious to the kids that her nerves are shot and that she really needs help. Each one of the three kids, 7, 9, and 11, are fully capable of getting up and helping their mother clean up and get ready for dinner. And their mother could really use their help. But none of the kids get up and offer to help mom. They don't care that mom might be embarrassed in front of their guest for the messy house. They continue to sit and play their video game in spite of being able to see that mom really needs help. So parents, let me ask you for a second. If this scenario was unfolding in your home, how would you react at this point? Now, you don't answer out loud. Some of you might feel like answering out loud, but just think for a moment, what would you do? These three kids having a blast. They can see very well that you need help. They can tell. They've lived with you long enough. They know when mom's very stressed out. What would you do? Would it be a standing in front of the TV, interrupting their line of sight, and giving them a lecture about how they'll never see their video game system again? Of how ungrateful, uncaring they are. They know how busy you are, and none of them would offer to do anything. And they ought to know better. Situations like this are frustrating. They're very challenging for parents, and we've all dealt with moments like this. Moments when maybe it's not that we see a negative behavior we want to correct, but we see the lack of positive behavior in our children. And our instincts immediately are to fix this problem, to set it straight, to correct the negative behavior. And those instincts aren't bad. But I want to look at a scripture today that I believe calls us to go a little deeper than just thinking of what's on the surface with the behavior. Paul Tripp, the author of the book Parenting, describes the problem with the situation above this way. Listen to what he says. So it is not enough to target the direct disobedience of your children. As a parent, you must also have an eye toward their character. You see, in the situation that I have described, the children have not rebelled against any rule. They have not disobeyed their mom's command. They have not refused to do what they are told. But what they are doing is wrong in the eyes of God, and it should be seen as wrong by us as well. The problem with these children is not that they have conspired together to rebel against their mother. Their problem is that they lack character, and because they do, they have not done what is right, what is good, what is loving, and what is kind. I could think of similar scenarios that I've had in my home, and I could think of how I feel as a parent in those moments, frustrated. You know, after all, you know, we've talked about this time and time again, and I see no initiative. You know, I don't see you taking the initiative to want to help your brother or your sister or your mother. I don't see you wanting to take your initiative to cleaning your own room, doing your chores. The bus leaves for school every day at the exact same time. You feel my pain. And I've offered the empty threat that I need to follow through on, probably. That one of these times, I'm not going to remind you. And I'm going to march you into your room or into your classroom, and you'll never do it again, will you? We've all been there. There's these challenging, frustrating moments where we see a lack of character, and we want to see that developed in our children. What if I were to tell you that when situations like this unfold in your house, these chaotic moments are actually moments of grace? Now, you might shake your head and go, well, there's nothing gracious about those moments of chaos where you're dealing with a situation like this. But let me help you see how that might be a moment of grace. In those moments, God gives us a window into our children's hearts. He allows us to see something about them, to see deep within them, to see specifically that there's a need for character. And he gives us an opportunity to be used by him to help develop the character that our children need, both as children, but especially when they become adults. So we have an opportunity, a moment where God allows us to see what might be missing in the heart of our children. Maybe they're not breaking the rules. Maybe they're not deliberately defying and disobeying, but we're troubled by the lack of a desire to want to help somebody in need. Those can be moments of grace. In fact, it's a gracious moment when we can see the problem. We don't often think that way, because when we become aware of a problem or something that's lacking, we don't like that. But even to be able to see the problem is evidence of God giving grace to you and I as a parent, to our families, to see that there's a need, there's something that needs to be developed. Character is so very important. Character impacts our actions, what we do. And it's so vitally important. Question that I want to seek to answer briefly this morning is, how do we as parents and families, and even today as we think of this baby dedication as an extended church family, how do we develop character in the lives of children? How do we do that? I want to invite you to look at a passage in Scripture. It's Romans 1, 25, and then verses 28 through 32. The book of Romans is really Paul's greatest work on the gospel. Many consider it to be a very dense, very thick, very theological book, and it certainly is those things. But yet, throughout the entire book of Romans, the emphasis is on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what God our Creator has done to bring us back into a relationship with Himself and to restore everything through Christ. So we get to see specifically here how the gospel might shape how we would seek to develop character in the lives of our kids. I'm going to start in verse 25. Paul says they, referring to humanity, has traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And then down in verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. See, this passage is, Paul identifies that a shift has taken place in every human heart. God, our Creator, is the one that we are made to worship, to love. He is the one that is made to rule over our lives, to lead us, to be our master, to be our guide. But rather than worshiping God, we have worshiped what He's created. We've worshiped other things. And as a result of that, there's all these negative characteristics, these negative behaviors that have come to describe fallen, lost humanity. It's quite a list, isn't it? Disobedient to parents is in that list. So we're right to think that and understand that in our children, apart from God's grace in their life, these negative characteristics develop and they come into real play when God is not the Lord of their life, when the Creator is not the one who is ruling over their heart. So Paul paints this picture. And in this, I think there's a couple takeaways that we can understand that'll help us in our parenting. And the first is this, that if we are going to develop character in the lives of our children, it starts with examining our own hearts as parents. This was really convicting to me. Because just to go back to the situation, that scenario of the kids being disrespectful and not wanting to help mom, and thinking of scenarios where there's frustration because we see the lack of character in our kids. I had a moment where I stopped in my own family, and I stepped back and I said, why is it that I get so frustrated? And I begin to realize that often I get so frustrated because the very things they're doing that cause me frustration are things that they've learned from me. They're things that frustrate me about me, lack of character or a negative behavior. So it's so frustrating to see it in my kids because it's like looking in the mirror. And I think if we're honest as parents, it's important that before we can develop character in our children, and even to continue to do that, we have to come to a place where we examine our own heart and we recognize any areas of lack of character in our hearts. That's not easy to do. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But when we read Paul in Romans here, there's this list: gossip, wickedness, sin, murder, quarreling, deception, not showing mercy, not understanding, boastful, proud, and it goes on and on. It's a good day when I allow God to show me as a parent. Where are these things? Are any of these things showing up in my life? Paul Tripp writes in his book, he says this, he says that we are more like our children than we are unlike them. We're more like our kids than we are unlike them. The same thing they need in their hearts to develop the character that is missing is the same thing that we need as parents in our hearts. We need the grace of God. We need for God to be the ruler over our hearts, the one that we worship. We need to acknowledge when we're worshiping created things instead of the Creator. He goes on, he says this, he says, if you deal with a lack of character with a lack of character, you will not accomplish what God has given you to accomplish in the hearts of your children. If you deal with lack of character with a lack of character, you won't be able to help your children develop that character that God wants for them. I don't want you to say ouch right now, but I think it's okay in our hearts to say, yeah, I've been there. I know I have, and I need God to show me. Show me the areas that I'm trying to fix a problem in my child, like I'm somehow above it, and like I don't struggle with it. And help me to see my own need for grace. I need forgiveness. I need repentance. I need healing in these very areas. When I see a lack of diligence in my kids, is there a lack of diligence in me? When I see an infatuation with pleasure, too much pleasure, pleasure is ruling the heart, whatever makes me happy is what I'm going to do. Are my kids seeing any of that in me? It's so helpful for me to have those moments. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable, but we need those moments for God the Holy Spirit to reveal to us when something else in our lives is affecting and preventing character development within us. I found it incredibly convicting. In his chapter here, Paul Tripp goes on, he makes this point. And I love when authors share something, they paint a picture, and it has a way of like helping you see something a lot better. And so I'm going to read this, and maybe you'll think of something that comes into your mind. He says this, he says, there's moments when we find ourselves walking down the hall, frustrated and angry, walking to one of our kids' rooms. Maybe we put them in timeout. Maybe we sent them to their room. Maybe they sent themselves to the room if they're a teenager and they're just mad and you're arguing and you have to come in and have this sit-down conversation and you're walking down there and he says this, you find yourself walking down the hall frustrated and angry, walking to your kid's room. When we actually step back and think about what's happening and why we're angry, he says this, the sad thing is oftentimes we're actually angry because one of our children has the audacity of needing to be parented. Was a very convicting moment. So when he painted this picture, I can see myself walking down. If you've been in my house, there's a hallway, and I got two boys in one room on bunk beds, and my daughter's over here, my son's over here, and I can visualize myself because I've taken that walk before. I've walked down that hall so frustrated, like, you know, I've sent him to his room four times today, and when he steps back and saying, you're actually angry because your child has the audacity of needing to be parented. That's a convicting statement. Developing character in the lives of our children, it takes work. Developing character in the lives of our children is like a marathon. It's not a sprint. It doesn't end when our kids grow up and move out of the house and have their kids. We still have a role to play in developing and helping to develop the kind of character that looks like Christ in the lives of our children. Consider the list in Romans. This long list, envy, strife, deceit, gossip, proud, boastful, foolish. Let me just ask a few questions and see if this sounds like any of your kids. Envy, how often do you have to deal with conflict that results between siblings being jealous of each other in your home? You ever had to deal with that? Yep. Strife, is there ever a day when you don't have to deal with some kind of problem between your children? Not very many, if you have young children at least. When they become teens, they stop that, right? That's what I've been told. No. Deceit. How often are children less than honest about what they've said or done? That's pastor's kids, too. I'll have a moment of confession here because you'll laugh at it. And hopefully it'll encourage your heart to the gospel. That's why I'd share it. But I went on a trip to Oklahoma City for, as I told you about last week, for a conference to meet with other pastors. And I'm driving back and I bought my boys a little gift, and I thought that they're old enough for when they go out to their grandparents who live on a farm, every little boy needs a pocket knife, correct? Now, that sigh just tells me all of you are judging me, literally judging me. They don't take it to school. They don't take it anywhere. I keep it in my, but when you go out to your grandparents who live on a farm, you need the ability to be able to carve your name in a tree. I grew up in the country. That's just part of being a boy. So I gave my boys pocket knives, and I went through all these instructions about how to properly, safety, don't cut yourself. And I know it doesn't matter all that I said. It's going to happen. They will cut themselves. So what to do, what not to do. And just a few days later, I talked about the consequences. And they were looking at their knives, and I let them, you know, I wouldn't say play with them, but I noticed all the knives were up, and I went in the boy's bedroom, one of the boys' bedroom, and we have one of those big rugs that's like a road, you know, with cars, kids, you know, and I noticed that there was a line all the way from one side to the other, this way. Then there was a line this way, and there was a little square piece missing. So I brought all the boys, I said, all right, guys, come on in the room, and I said, which one of you cut this with your pocket knife? Well, I don't know. I think it was kind of torn already. You know, and I got all these excuses, and then, you know, and they probably were partially true. I do remember it was torn, but then I began to explain, you see that? That's a straight edge. That's a knife cut there. So then I said, all right, I'm taking all of them away because nobody will be honest with me. And it took a few hours. One of them came and confessed to me. And I had that conversation as a parent about, you know, Dad loves you. It's so much easier if you're just honest with me. When you've done wrong, confess it. Don't get caught. It's so much harder when you're caught. It's so much better when you come to me and say, Dad, I did wrong. It's so much easier for me as a parent. It's so much easier for you. That's true of life, isn't it? It's better to confess than get caught. Much better to confess and get caught. So I could go on. There's all these characteristics we want to develop in the life of our kids. We identify these things: boastful. How many of your kids brag when they win, when they beat one of their siblings? We could go on and on with this list. It's a reality that our kids need their character developed. Secondly, and I'm going to really begin to wrap things up with this, the second way that we develop character, number one again, was if we're going to develop character in the lives of our kids, we have to examine our own heart. And we have to see the need for character development in us, recognizing that we're not so much unlike our kids. And so we need to allow God to transform our character in our life. The second thing is this: we need to recognize what rules our hearts and the hearts of our children. Paul Tripp says this. He says, we don't so much need character management as we need worship realignment. He said, if we take Romans seriously here, the reason there are character problems is because a fundamental shift has taken place in our hearts. Rather than worshiping the one true God as God, rather than letting him be our Lord, our ruler, rather than letting him be the joy of our lives, the one that we serve, the one that we surrender to, we have worshiped other things. And the other things that we worship, that our children worship, are the very things that lead to the character problems they have. So it's appropriate as parents that we need to seek positive ways for encouraging good behavior, character, positive ways for behavior modification, different things that we can do. But we have to go deeper than that and see that the gospel shows us that there's something wrong with the human heart. The human heart needs to be saved. It needs to be changed to be as God intended it to be. We need to recognize that when we worship anything other than God, we become enslaved to that thing. If I were to go back to that scenario, that situation in the living room again, the kids were getting what they wanted, right? What was ruling their heart in that moment? Pleasure. They were having fun. They were playing a video game, and it was a blast. They were enjoying themselves. Pleasure was ruling their hearts. Now, pleasure's not bad, is it? We live in a world, God created things that are good, that are desiring, that are fulfilling. But if pleasure becomes Lord of our hearts, it can destroy us. So here are the kids. They're getting what they want. They're getting pleasure. Video games. But what they need to see is there's a greater reality. There's a sacrifice that God would call them to. They need someone greater to rule over their heart than pleasure. Wanting to be liked. Wanting for friends to like us is not a bad thing. Kids struggle with that. But if it rules over your heart, it can destroy you. Wanting to control your life, every detail, not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We need to exercise that discipline. But if that rules over us, it'll destroy us. Our hearts were made alone to be ruled by God. And as parents, we need to see that we need God's help to, in these moments, not just address the negative behavior, but seek to help our kids see who God is, how he desires for them to worship and to know him, and to help them see how he can change their hearts. When God is the Lord of our lives and he does his work of transforming us, he is the one alone who can create that character deep within us, to where rather than seeking our own way, at times we might seek pleasure. Pleasure's a good thing, but ultimately we seek to worship and to serve him. We seek to love him and to love others. Then God is able to develop the character in us that we need. I want to invite you to think about the kind of parent that God is. Listen to what Paul Tripp says here. He says this: think of how God works in your life. He's not content with just forgiving you for your sin. Having forgiven you, he is zealously committed to transform you. He doesn't just target those intentional, rebellious moments. He works on the character of your heart as well, so that you progressively become what he designed you to be. Because he is committed to character change, your Lord goes after the idols of your heart, and he will not rest until every thought, desire, choice, word, and action is fully rooted in worship of him. You and I are still blessed every day with his fatherly care because the war of worship still rages in our hearts. If we're going to develop character in the lives of our children, we have to examine our own hearts, identify any lack of character, and then we as parents also have to make sure that what's at the center of our heart, what's ruling our lives, is no one else, no one other than our Creator, God our Father. And the way we can make God the center of our hearts is when we confess that he's not, and we turn to his Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask him not only for forgiveness, because we need forgiveness. When there's a lack of character in my heart as a parent, I need to be forgiven. I need to confess that to God. Because if I don't, that lack of character in my life most likely will get worse in my kids' lives. It'll go down from here. So I need to confess that lack of character. Then I need to look to Christ and trust in him and ask him to remake my heart in his image, to ask him to progressively parent me. I need him to parent me if I'm going to parent my kids well. So I think it's important that we pray for strength and patience and we trust in the grace of God, remembering that character develops through perseverance. It doesn't develop in a moment. We don't snap our fingers and we've got it. But it's a life of persevering. So let's persevere in prayer as parents. Let's persevere in prayer as a church family and ask for God to make us not only parents of character, but families of character in a church of character. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your presence with us here today. We want to identify that your Holy Spirit is active in our lives, not just in those moments where we sense good things or encouragement, but your Holy Spirit is also active in those moments where you convict us, where you shine light into our hearts and perhaps areas that may not be all as they should be. Father, we confess here as parents, our greatest desire is not for our kids to be like us. Our greatest desire is for our kids to be like you. We know that if that's the case, then we need you, Father, to make us like you. So thankful that you are so eager and willing to forgive us as parents, because not a one of us here gets this right all the time. Not a one of us here is perfect. Parenting is difficult. It's hard. And we're human. We have emotions. And we require sleep. We have limitations. And at times we get short. At times we are not as patient with our kids as you are with us. And in those moments, we ask that you'd help us to see the lack of character in us. And Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, as we would look to Jesus, as we would trust in him, that you would make us, that you transform us to become like Jesus, to take on his character, that we would be like him, and that you would give us the grace as parents, give us the grace we need, Father, to faithfully, over the course of our entire lives, to shepherd, to parent, to nurture, to do the hard work of seeking to instill the kind of character you desire in our children. Help us not to be discouraged when it seems like all of our efforts aren't working. Help us to remember times in our life where we were far from you and yet you continued to pursue us and you brought us through incredible difficult times. Help us to remember that when our kids walk through difficult times, Father, that you're still at work. So we pray that you'd encourage every single parent here today, that their hearts would be lifted up, that you'd increase their faith so that they would pray, believing that, God, you are active in the life of their kids and that it's never too late for you, through your Holy Spirit, to work in the lives of their kids. And as they do that, Father, I pray as well that you would open their eyes to their hearts, to see anything, any character, any behavior,
anything that's taking place in their lives that may not line up to Christ, and then give them the faith to confess that and to trust in you for cleansing and for transformation. I pray you bless this church family today, and pray that you'd help each one of us, every person here today, to see how we have such a role to play in shaping the lives of our children. And would you help us as we walk with you, Father, continue to make us more like you. That's our prayer. We give thanks to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.